Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
We're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about everything here. It is beautiful in the background where you are. This is going to be very sentimental. I love this. This is a very different interview. Eileen is a writer, but she creates these beautiful diaries. Do you journal, brains? Do you keep your memories? I do. I've got them all over the place. I tell you, if they could talk, it'd be a world of trouble. But I started journaling when I was a child. And you know, your teachers always encouraged you to journal as well. But to keep them organized, your precious memories, your thoughts, your dreams, this is wonderful. And this woman here has created a beautiful collage of different types of diaries for women, for teens, to really kind of encapsulate all those memories that you keep so close to your heart. So we're going to hear a little bit about her story, what got her to writing and creating this genre, you know, because they're very different. She's going to flip through the pages and show us. Brains, help me welcome to the edge today, Eileen Forrestal.
Hello, April.
Hi.
I'm Brains.
How are you? It's 4 o'clock. Great. Now, where are you at again?
I'm in the northwest of Ireland, a place called Sligo.
Wow.
And
Ireland, Brains.
Ireland, yes. Yes. This is my little corner of heaven.
Before we get into the interview a little bit, tell me a little bit about Ireland.
Ireland, well, Ireland's just like my country. it's an island. It's an emerald island in the middle of, you know, it's kind of on the edge of Europe. So, but it's in the Atlantic. It's a small island with a total population of about 6.5 million. It's a divided island, kind of unfortunately still. So, you know, I live in the southern part. So I live in the Republic. And then a lot of my friends live in the northern part, which is the north of Ireland, which is attached to the United Kingdom. So anyway, we speak English, but we do have a second language called Irish, which we have all kind of learned in school. And it was, you know, I love the Irish language. So I've always loved languages. But so that was it. So, you know, we're a little green emerald jewel here in the sea. That's what I say.
And, well, there's a whole lot of magic and mystery about Ireland. You know, they say there's leprechauns and it's pots of gold. You know, my last name is Mahoney, so I love Irish. My daughter came to Ireland and Scotland and she fell in love with it. She said it's magical. Do you know where the story of the leprechauns came from? And the four-leaf clover? What's that?
Not really. I suppose, you know, we have a lot, again, because we had another language, you know, an Irish language, a lot of things got lost in the communication. You know, was it real? Was it a fairy story? Was it a true story? So a lot of it comes from kind of the mists of time. You know, there's a place we have, like, there's a, you know, a kind of a conversation in Ireland about, it's called like Tírnanog, which is called the land of eternal youth, right? But it's just a mythical place. But, you know, it looked like it was a place, you know, that you could go to, like Tírnanog. And they actually made a film of, you know, two young boys from Dublin thought they would actually go traveling and try and find Tírnanog. But it's mythical. So a lot of Ireland in the old Irish language was very much involved in myths and stories and, you know, things that got lost. They were, you didn't know whether they were real or whether they were history or facts. And things weren't written down. They were just, you know, spoken. So you could hear something and you could make up all sorts of imaginings about that thing. Was it true? And, you know, and did it matter?
It's about the story.
It's about the story and the message. The message that was in the story. Yeah. So that's how people communicated in those days. And, you know, they frightened the living daylights out of people by telling them really scary stories so they wouldn't go out at night. And then, you know, there was other things. So there was lots of different ways of communicating.
So how did you start writing? Tell us a little bit about your story. Oh, you're right here, Brains, in case you forgot. I forgot to tell you. You're here on the edge. Look at that.
Look.
Me and Eileen.
I'm here too. Yes, on the edge, yes. And I have water in my cup.
Oh, well, may your cup runneth over.
It runneth over. It does indeed. Yes, it's fabulous. Yeah. So, well, you know, like my background is medical. So I was a medical doctor for 30 odd years.
Wow.
And, you know, kind of towards the, you know, in maybe in the last 10 years or so, I just got involved in this publishing. You know, I got completely accidentally, you know, I had no intention of ever publishing anything or creating anything in writing or writing anything in particular. I just wrote all the time. Like I would write everything. Like if you look around my house, it's full of like paper and there's like notebooks and there's just, you know, stuff writing everywhere. But it was never a conscious thing, like just to write. It was just something that I did and put it in the back in the drawer. And, When I was actually doing some fun, I was a traveler and I was doing some fundraising for Cambodia. Actually, I just wanted to, there was a project I wanted to support and I was doing some fundraising. And I used to buy a little diary called the Irish Survivor's Diary. And it used to be my little go-to diary to survive my profession because it was a very busy job. I was an anaesthetist. And, you know, we had a catchment area of like 250,000 people when I was on call, like by myself. So, you know, it was a stressful job, but, you know, that was my training. That's what I did. But anyway, I used to use my little kind of Irish Survivor's Diary that was just what I did. And anyway, while I was doing my fundraising, I thought, I wonder if there's any ideas in my diary, and which there weren't. And because I hadn't written nothing. And then I kind of thought, well, I wonder if the person who does the diary for me, who does the diary, maybe they would give me some of their proceeds of the Christmas sales for my fundraiser. So I went back to the shop as to where I got the diary. And the guy in the shop said, oh, that's that South African lady. Actually, she lives in Strand Hill, which was like 5 miles away. And I thought, well, that's amazing. what a coincidence. So I popped out to Strand Hill and knocked on her door and introduced myself and made my proposition. And she said, oh, she wasn't going to do it anymore. She'd finished. She kind of wasn't doing it anymore. And that was it, you know. And I thought, no, we have to. It's like, it's my go-to diary.
I rely on this.
This is my survivor's diary, right? And then she asked me, would I be interested in going into a partnership with her? I thought, well, I know nothing publishing or publishing diaries or anything like that. But I said, well, yes, of course, anything to have the diaries survive. So I did a partnership with that in 2006. And then in 2006 in Ireland, you may not be aware, but we had this thing called the Celtic Tiger. So the economy was roaring. There was very little surviving going on in Ireland at the time. If the economy was booming, everybody was flying high. And I thought, I don't really want a survivor's diary. You know, if I'm going to do it myself, I'd like kind of a, you know, one that was a little bit more, you know, optimistic and out there and like thriving. More of that.
Whimsical, fun.
So exactly. So anyway, we kind of brainstormed a little bit and then we got we came up with the Irish Get Up and Go Diary. I said, yes, that's what we'll do. So we've been up and going since 2007 and we now have like, you know, 10 or 11 products,
wow,
these unique diaries. And I just love to create them and I'm just full of ideas and I put all sorts of things into them and I fill them with pictures. And so they're not your average diary, as in a diary that necessarily you will fill in yourself. There isn't a huge amount of space for people to fill in their own. There's a certain amount, depending on how small your writing is, but there isn't a huge amount. Mostly it's really what you might read. And in the reading of it, then it might alter maybe what you write or how you write, but it's more to do with the reading. It's more to do with the listening than actually the speaking. So that's kind of the focus of them. They're more inspirational. It's like, you know, we're not always necessarily inspired by what we say ourselves, but other people can say something. Oh, that's a great thing. Why didn't I think of that? So we put all of these kind of inspirational stuff in there that somebody could read something and think, oh, yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah, I haven't thought about that. That's new. So moving from there.
So give me a sample.
Okay, I'm going to hold up a sample. Here's the Irish Get Up and Go Diary 2022. Okay. And it's called The Diary That Inspires and Motivates.
Okay.
So inside, it's technically a calendar, okay? So you have all the dates, you have your dates, you know, and the months of the year and whatever. But you have everything else, as much as I could possibly get in terms of, so if I just even read, this is June, I'm just picking it randomly because I'm not here yet, but it's like June here, it says, whatever words we utter should be chosen with care, for people will hear them and be influenced by them for good or ill.
Oh.
It's like, okay, you know, yeah,
a little poetic message.
There's lots of little something from Voltaire, you know, okay. French philosopher, says doubt is an uncomfortable condition, but certainty is a ridiculous one. And we so dwell in certainty. You know, we're certain the weather's going to be fine tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
And we're certain that that person is going to turn up at 2 o'clock.
So now you've written them, you've written that one, but you've also written them for youth.
Yeah. This is one of my, it's kind of my favorite one.
Oh, that
because,
one. Can go.
Because, yeah, that they're all going to be girls.
2021.
And this is then, so this is this year, right? But this one has these unique illustrations.
Oh, look at that. Now, are you an illustrator as well? Are you working with someone?
No, I work with someone. I worked with this chap. We don't work with them now. We worked with them for about 5 years.
Look at that.
And it's super.
Lift it up just a little bit. Lift it up. Oh, wow. Look at him. He's so creative.
He is unbelievably creative, right? So we had the pleasure of working with him, and simple things like don't it's very dramatic, but here's one here. Can you read that one?
Don't let your tongue cut your throat. Ooh, I know.
And there's the graphic. I mean, aren't they powerful?
They are powerful.
You know, and now you have words and you have the little piece of kind of a message. You kind of think, oh yeah, okay. And now that you have a vision, you think, oh, you know, maybe I'll be careful what I say, because I don't want to say something that's not
absolutely.
That I'm going to, you know, they say keep your words sweet because you might have to eat them later.
Ooh, I know. I always use the term, I say there's a cage for your tongue if you just close your teeth.
All of that, you know, and you can't shake hands with a clenched fist, and you know, so we try and put all of those in there, just these little reminders really of how we go through life and how if we want life to turn out a certain way, then you know. Now,
you keep writing them, so they must be well received.
Oh, they're very well received. Yeah, we probably sold about maybe 400,000 of the books over the last few years. You know, we're doing well, and you know, there's lots of, I suppose, one of, you know, this is kind of probably becoming very popular.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know. I'm spoiled at the fact is that you date them because 2021, 2022, because they are calendars and all that. So what happens to the old ones that you have?
I have a little pile here that I keep, but everybody keeps their own. So when you go back and you look at what were you doing in 2021, you're talking about memories, right? You know, right. A lot of people do fill in these. They fill in what their goals were, what their bucket list were. They do fill them in. You know, you fill them in, and then you can go back and look at, well, what did you actually do when you look back?
Right.
We always say never, never overestimate what you can do in a day, but never underestimate what you can do in a year, or what you can do in 5 years, or 10 years, or a lifetime.
Or what you learn, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm writing down everything I learned for 365 days.
Yeah.
I learned something new, and people don't realize that. You really, really learn something new, smallest thing to a big thing.
Absolutely. Every conversation. Every event, you learn something new. If you're open to something new, you know, you could be closed and think, I'm not going to learn anything here. I'm not going to learn anything from this person. I'm not going to learn anything from this. Or you could say, I wonder what I'm going to learn here. This is interesting. What's and possible? Have that curiosity. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, how can it get any better than this? And that's what I keep asking myself right now. So what is your inspiration for writing? What do? Do you sit out there in that beautiful green lush yard of yours in the back and with your dog and just doodle, or you know, what is your inspiration for coming up with all of these beautiful diaries and thoughts?
Well actually my inspiration is actually reading. So I will read something and I think, oh, that's really good, I need to put that in the diary. So I'm always listening for, you know, something that somebody might say, or something that I will read, or I'll distill something. And I think, oh, that's important, you know, or something that I found that might've been written, you know, a long time ago. And I think that's actually very timely. That's still very relevant. I think I'll put that in the diary, you know, and you put it in the young person's diary, or put it in the busy woman's diary, or put, like, where will I put them? So there's no shortage of words,
right.
No shortage. We have gazillions, right? Mm-hmm. But we've got 26 letters in the English language.
Right.
Now, and let's not talk about translation yet, but that's next, right? But in terms of, you know, that the word, like some words actually are worth sharing, you know, like TED Talks, their ideas worth sharing. And other words are kind of maybe worth not. You know, it's like, that one doesn't really help. That's not a helpful one. Let's just leave that one there. That particular, you know, thing isn't like, but in the view of a kind of a bigger, you know, like a bigger vision or something, like how things could be, like how life could get for people, like how great could it be?
Right.
And, you know, maybe if we actually were a little bit more mindful of how we actually really wanted it to be, and then started doing things like that, and, you know, asking for what we wanted, look at that, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, you know, well, as opposed to, but yeah. it's that conversation that we don't have with ourselves, or we underestimate the power of our words. People don't realize how much power words have. It's stronger than a gun. You know, it's stronger than alcohol, because it really resonates in a person's soul. You know, people will go back and think of, you know, how he proposed to me, the words he used, or the, you know, what my teacher said to me the first day of school, or when I was scolded by my grandmother. I remember what she said. Words are so powerful. They are so powerful. Now, do you have a translation in Irish, or are you working on that now?
No, we don't. I'm, again, because I suppose I keep using the language that I'm in. So, you know, we've been like, it's been suggested, and I think, oh, I really should get around to doing that.
Yeah, I really should get around to doing that,
but I haven't got around to doing that yet. But we do put Irish into the Irish Get Up and Go diary. We do put some of the Irish language in there, and some of our little
But there's a lot of wisdom, you know, from Ireland. There's a lot of, you know, tales and stories and history that really make you think.
So it
will be powerful. Maybe you'll do one just, you know, in Irish.
Absolutely. I mean, if there's a demand, and now that everything is kind of digital, you know, and it's really easy to digitally translate, it doesn't actually have to be a printed physical one just yet. There's actually the opportunity just to, you know, to, so we're kind of playing with that at the moment too.
I can also see some of these being in a song. Maybe you get someone to do some music behind and read some of them for you. Kids would love that.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. That's really fabulous. I love that. Yeah.
A lot of fun. What do you do for fun and recreation when you're not creating these beautiful written works of art?
Number one, it's part of my fun and recreation, because I'm actually sharing a lot of it. So I spend a lot of time, you know, connecting with people and chatting, chatting over tea. And I'm retired from the medical profession, you know, so nothing is life and death anymore. So I'm quite liberated. And I live, as I say, in a beautiful part of the world. I like to kind of take the dog for the walk. You know, we can go down to the local forest. And again, you know, we're beaches like all around. And that's just it. You know, there's people and there's places to go and people to meet and things to do. And that's kind of, and in my life, I've kind of done a massive amount of things. It's like almost like I've done everything, it seems like.
Right.
And now I like to encourage other people to risk things. So I like other people to risk it. And, you know, just really, what could you be doing in life? Like, what could you bring you more, you know, excitement or adventure or whatever? I'm a stupid thing, like, you know, fear, where fear stops people. Right. So it's like, what if you weren't afraid to do something? What if you're, you know, I know your thing is women on the edge. You know? And it's like, I like to kind of be on the edge. I think, well, you know, I'll give that a go. I'm pretty, you know, brave. And it's like, I'll do something. And then I'll say to somebody else, look, that was easy. I did it. Didn't do me any harm. You know, you could give it a go and you could get a different result, but you wouldn't be afraid to, you know, to try something new. So I'm always out there with.
So you're not afraid. And I love that. You're fearless. No. You're fearless.
Yeah.
What has all this taught you in your life? You know, seeing life or death, being right there as a medical doctor, where we are right now in the midst of COVID, whether people believe it's real or not, take the vaccine or don't take the vaccine. What has all of this kind of taught you?
Well, it's taught me there is no other time other than right now. That's like right. Now, this minute, this conversation, really, April, between you and me, whoever is listening, this is now. Anything that happened yesterday or last week or last month or last year, like, it's fine, but it's not now. And anything that's going to happen, you know, in a month's time or 2 months' time or whatever it is, that's not now either. So it's really like, how much juice can I get out of now? How much can I enjoy now? So it's kind of thinking, well, if I didn't have to worry or, you know, regret the past or, you know, whatever about the past, and I didn't have to be, you know, fearful or concerned about the future, like I'm aware that there is tomorrow is possibly coming. I don't know it's coming. I may not make up in the morning. I hope I do. But, you know, life's like that, right? So but for today, for right now, this is really fun. I just, you know, as much fun into this particular moment as I can. And as much, and you know, this is an opportunity. You invited me to come and speak. This is fun. I've never done this before. I've never spoken to April, you know, on the other side of the world.
You've spoken to me and spoken to my brains, 72,042 countries. Listen to our brains.
Exactly.
And you know what? And they have never documented their dreams. There's so many people that don't document. And to me, I get lazy sometimes. I don't write in my journal. But sometimes when I write in my journal, my hands just won't stop. And there's so many powerful things. Like I said, I write my wishes. I write my struggles. I write my successes. I write about my family. I exude anger and joy. There's so much that you can put down with pencil and paper. And it's a release when you write. Yes. You know, it is a release. It's not like typing on a computer. It's not like just sitting there meditating. It's actually the connectivity. It's actually fluid. It's going from the brain through the heart, out the hand, you know, through the pen, onto the paper. It's really, really, it's a magical experience. And I really encourage people to try to do it a lot more. You feel a lot better afterwards, too. And then you go back and you reflect, like you said, go back and look at 2020s. Wow, where was I at when I first heard about COVID? You know, here I am 2021, and what's changed? What's better in my life? What am I doing right here in this very moment that I was so excited about? So it's wonderful. I really, really, I really like that. I really like that.
When you're writing, you're writing right now. You know, you're actually writing right now. And then, you know, you can either look at what you wrote, or you can write something and think, oh, you know, I think I'll go and do that. You know, I'm going to put that in my diary for October. I'm going to book that for October.
Right,
you put it in your schedule, and you think, and then it's like you've written it today. And then by the time September comes, the thinking is overrated. I think that's what we're saying here. Thinking is overrated, you know, procrastinating, wondering, whatever. Like if that's what you're doing right now, if you're procrastinating or waiting or something like that, if that's what you're doing right now, it's not really moving the dial.
Right.
Whereas if you're writing or taking some action or, you know, putting something in a diary, or you're picking up a phone, or you're doing something, then that's what you're doing right now. And then that's where tomorrow gets created in what you do today.
So what would you tell a person, Eileen, that's stuck? You know, that just think for a minute that there's no opportunities, that there's no growth, that there's nothing to look forward to. Give them some inspiration, because you're so bubbly.
Well, you know, number one, you'd have to ask yourself, is that true? Like, is it true that there is none? You know, you look out there, other people seem to have it. Other people seem to be having inspiration, or other people seem to be having this other, you know, unstuck life. So what are they doing that I'm not doing? Or what am I doing that they're not doing? So number one, look at that and then think, well, what kind of life do I want? Do I want to be like one of those people, or do I not? And then, well, it's like, do I need to like write something? Do I need to do something different? Because like we say, if we keep doing the same thing and keep saying the same thing, we're just going to have the same thing. So if I keep saying I'm stuck, if I keep saying that, then I'm just going to keep myself stuck. At least if I say, number one, well, I don't actually want to be unstuck. I don't want to be unstuck. What if I wasn't unstuck? If I wasn't unstuck, what would I be doing? What could I be doing? So if I wasn't just, you know, stuck in this, what could I, like, really? And then start speculating, take that pen of yours or that thing and start writing down, well, I could do this and I could do that. Now, then you could say, well, maybe I couldn't really, but maybe if somebody else could, which maybe if they could, I could, you know, like, have I got the same capacities that they have? Do I need some help? Yeah. Absolutely. Do I need some help to do it? Do I need some guidance to do it? Do I need somebody to kind of show me how to do it? I don't know how to do it. And if I knew how to do it, then I would do it. So who do I know could show me how? So there's lots of different things. We have really five great questions in life. We've got what, where, when, who, and why. And how, the six, right?
Critical six.
These are really, really, and it's like, so really, anytime that you think that you're stuck, write down those five questions. You know, well, what am I stuck with? You know, who am I stuck with? Where am I stuck? What is, and then what if I wasn't unstuck? And then just put another little column down there and think, well, you know, really, do I really want to be unstuck? Or am I kind of happy, you know, comfortable being stuck? Because that's one of the, that's one of the killers. If you're really comfortable being stuck,
right, right. And you know what? A lot of times it's realizing that you are stuck.
It's realizing you're stuck.
That you're stuck. And again, the world is full of possibilities. You have to keep asking, you know, how can you be better than this?
Exactly.
You know, what can I do? What more? What is my calling? What is my responsibility? And wait for the answer.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be surprised at what you find out. So, Eileen, please tell my brains how to get a get in contact with you and purchase one of these amazing diaries. I'm so excited. I'm going to put the link on the bottom because I want people to really enjoy this. And kids are going to find it fantastic. I love the, I can't wait to get mine because I love the visuals. You can even send me an old one.
they're on their way. They are.
Well, you know, so do you do one for women and for children each year? Do you create a new one each year?
Yeah, create a new one each year. Now, a lot of the content kind of is similar, you know, but no, it's really, they are new. It's like, I just kind of create them. We get a lot of the kind of, I often say it's like it's brand new because you can't reinvent the wheel. You know, if somebody said something very, you know, in a very kind of a wise, sensible, pithy way, then I'm not going to reinvent that wheel. I'm just going to say it. This is the way, this is the sentence.
Exactly.
You know, so, and it's like if it communicates, and so it's really newly. Some of the ones that we don't, we have like our gratitude journal is just standard. You know, we have a travel journal, which is standard.
Oh,
that doesn't change
that.
Every year. The travel journal gives you a chance to write in lots into your travel journal because they have little travel quotes. And, you know, there's a lot of journeys internal as well as external. So, you know, having been a traveler, I learned a lot about the world, but really on the website. So the website is getupandgodiary.com. So that's kind of where all the products are available on the diary, diary page.
Diary brains, get up and go.
Get up and go diary.com. Yeah.
.com, yeah. Not dot, you know, usually like UK or nothing. Just get up and
go
diary.
Get up and go diary.com. Yeah. Yeah. Get up and go diary.com. It's just there. It's on the bottom of the screen there.
Leave it right there. Just a second. It's got a QR code, brains. Okay. Next to that ISBN. Good.
And sustainable forests. We like to, you know, manage the paper, you know, the sustainable forests.
Oh, I love that.
Because
my
name, Eileen Forrestal, I'm passionate about trees. I'm trying to get the government here to plant like a gazillion trees.
You know, I'm a tree hugger. I do my meditation with trees. And I was supposed to going up to Oregon because I wanted to hug some of those big babies. And COVID. But I'll get up there. And I'll come to Ireland, too. Me and my daughter's thinking about renting a castle there and holding a retreat. So maybe we'll come and have one of your big tables so that everyone will have a journal.
Yes, there's a place very close by here you can do just that.
Really? Well, we're going to talk offline. Yeah, I want to do that. And you'll tell me all the nice Irish pubs so that we can get some good beer.
right now our culture is a little bit constrained because of, you know, what's happening with the C
word. Are
you
in a strong lockdown there in Ireland? What's the thought? What's the behavior there?
Well, we're opening up very slowly and very kind of measured, you know, so we're slowly getting back. But I suppose it's that level of confidence that people are still being, you know, a little bit distant, and we're not fully open, you know, groups and crowds. We're not fully mingling. Mm-hmm. We're being very measured. We're doing brilliantly, I suppose, at vaccinating the country. So, you know, we're doing that, and there's a lot of people are, you know, wearing masks. We're quite compliant, I suppose. You know, we have been through, in living memory, we have been through, you know, a contagious illness. You know, a lot of people in this country, like TB, would have been very significant illness, like in the, you know, the 30s, 40s, 50s.
Right.
So a lot of people would remember that, you know, and that sort of level of contagion. And it was just too traumatic. So people don't you know, people don't want to take any risk really with their health. So we're kind of, you know, we're pretty good at listening to the scientific evidence and listening to people. It's about trust as well. It's like, do you trust the government is looking after you? Do you trust that the health service is looking after you? So, you know, seeing as I have been in the health service all my life, I'm very much, you know, this was our thing. We're always trying to look after people and keep them healthy. Keep them well, you know. So we just, and that's really where you come from a medical background. You know, you're not out to do any harm. Like for students, the first rule when you're first day in medical school, you know.
You dedicate your life to save lives.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And people have been helped so they can,
You know, you're just like a soldier. You know,
and if you're healthy, you could enjoy your life. You know, if you're healthy, you could enjoy your life. You know, and obviously people have to, there's a lot of sacrifices to be made in this particular, at this time, because it's, and people think it's long, but, you know, it may not be that long. We quote Anne Frank, you know, in the diary kind of recently, and Anne Frank spent like 3 years in the attic. You know, Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in jail. Right. Like, there's, it seems like, oh, it's a long time, and we get very impatient because we want it to be now.
Right.
But we might just have to wait because nature has other ways of dealing with things.
Well, you know, that's what I said. Everybody's been naughty at one time or another. And so now we're all in timeout all around the world.
Kind of a timeout around the world. Yeah. Because again, it's like, who do you trust now? Like, and who do you believe and who do you trust? And there's what they said in the beginning about words. You know, there's so many words bandied around and you think, well, is this the truth? Is this the truth? Is this the truth? Is this the truth? What's the truth? So you have to kind of come to your thing. But who do you trust really? And, you know, can you trust yourself to make a decision and a choice and then be happy with your choice, you know? But again, it's like, it's your choice and we don't have to have other people agree with us. That we don't have to do that. We just have to mind our own choices and look after ourselves and look after other people.
And you don't bully other people for their choices.
Yeah, it's a personal thing always, you know, you're never going to convince anybody of anything anyway, you know?
No, that's not what I'm here. That's what I keep telling people. I'm not here to convince you on the edge. I'm here to be able to give you information and you're going to edit and filter that. You're going to let whatever you feel is important to you sit in your brain because that's what we do. We provide options and we provide information and you have been a wealth of both. I love that. This has been, you know, so different and relaxing and fun. Brains, words are powerful. Record them, document them, share them. You can share them, you know, with your children. You know, I've went back and read my grandmother's diary. Wasn't much in it, but it, you know, it was just the fact that she sat down and I could see her with a pen and paper and writing her thoughts and her memories and her wishes and her dreams. And some of them came true. So again, thank you so much for being a dream catcher and not a dream crusher, Eileen. And we will definitely keep my brains informed on what you're doing every year because she comes out with a new one. Okay. I look forward to having you back here on the edge. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, April. That was lovely.
All right. Lovely talking to you. Bye, brains. Mm.